We love this man, don't we? And we're so grateful that he's our pastor. Bless you, Damien.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here, isn't it? Worshipping Jesus. Jesus is the main event. And we thank God for what's happened this weekend. You know, I've been listening to people share stories of lives that were broken and people who were in rebellion to God who have met with Jesus, received him as their Lord, and their lives have been transformed. And that's the reason that we do what we do, isn't it? That we worship the Lord and we reveal his glory in this town. The reason that we're gathered together as a redeemed people, so that we can reflect Jesus's glory to the people that we're around every single day. So we're just in awe of the God that we serve. I have indeed lost my notes, so I'm going to be freestyling this morning a little bit. I actually have some slides up here, so I might just follow those, but let's just pray because I need it. Our Father God, we are in awe of you. You are truly amazing, Lord God. We stand here, Father, with our hearts just full, Lord God, because of the kind of God that we serve. Lord, thank you that you're not just the creator God. If you were only the creator God, that would be enough, Lord God, and we would give you glory for endless days. But Father, you're also our daddy. Father, thank you that you're the one who holds it all together, Father, by your powerful word, Lord God, and yet you're closer to us than a brother. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of your finished work on the cross, because of your broken body and your shed blood, you made a way, Father, for our relationship with Father to be restored. Father, thank you that our sin has been dealt with finally because of Jesus' death on the cross. Father, thank you because of your resurrection, Lord God, we can experience life in all of its fullness, Lord God. Today we're here redeemed because of what you've done, Lord God. It's awesome. And we give you glory. And we thank you for your presence. We love you so much. Come and have your way in our hearts right now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, this morning we're going to be looking at being in the body of Christ. And I want to say to you off the bat this morning that in Hope Church, and actually this is how it's supposed to be across the whole body of Christ, every member is in ministry. Do you believe that? So I'm a minister, and you would probably call me a minister, but I'm looking at all of you today. Well, I'm trying to, because the light's in my eyes. And what I see before me is countless ministers and ministries represented across this church this morning. If you don't think of yourself as a minister, let me explain what ministry is. Ministry is service. And every single Christian is called to a life of service, which means that every single one of us is a minister. Every single one of us has a ministry, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. But before we do, there's some reminders up on the screen of some of the values that we share as a church, some of the things that are deeply embedded in our culture as a church, and I wonder if we could just read those together. So we want to be a church with Jesus at the center. We want to be a church that loves and obeys the word of God. We want to be a church that honors and seeks the presence of God. We want to be a church where people live naturally supernatural lives. We want to be a church where people are growing to maturity as disciples of Christ. We want to be a church that pursues holiness. We want to be a church where everyone finds their place in ministry. We want to be a church that is courageous, willing to take God-inspired steps of faith. We want to be a church of missionaries, sharing the good news of Jesus with our town and beyond. We want to be a church with a culture of radical generosity. We want to be a church that is family. We want to be a church that has a deep commitment to unity. Can anyone say an amen to that? Amen. Okay, so this morning I might turn around a little bit just because some of the scriptures are up here on the screen. But if you have a Bible, I wonder if you could just open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and put your finger in it, and we're going to look at a few verses before we get there. The first of which is Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, and I just wanted to start with this one because it contains an exquisite truth. Look at this. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Look at that. It says, God will not forget the work that you have done and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people. By helping his people, you are loving him. That's awesome. So I don't know what you do for Jesus. What is your ministry? What is the role that God has given you in the body of Christ? You might not know what that is yet. You might still be discovering what your God-given ministry is. But all of us are called to serve and to help one another. And it says here in this passage that when we do serve one another, when we do help one another, when we do love one another, by doing that, we're loving him. That's amazing. And let's look at the next scripture up here on the screen. There's a principle that I've found in the body of Christ, and I've shared this with you before. If you've been around Hope Church for a little while, you'll have heard me say this before. But in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 25, there's this amazing passage where Jesus is separating out the goats from the sheep at the end of time. And those who will receive eternal life, he says, then the righteous will answer him, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? They're confused because there seems to be a reward coming their way, but they can't remember treating Jesus like that. And this is what Jesus said. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And so when we serve people, when we give people food or something to drink, and when we care for the sick and visit people in prison, when we open our homes to strangers, and when we pick up the telephone or meet someone for a coffee or meet somebody's practical need, like Simon Hall was around Giles and Sue's house fixing their washing machine the other day. And when we do things like that, it says, when you did this for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. And the next verse, this is more of a negative spin on the same principle. So the Apostle Paul, who was at one time called Saul, who was persecuting the church of God. Do you remember that? And so he was tracking down Christians to persecute them. And it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And of course, the Apostle Paul, as he became at that time, Saul was thinking to himself, well, I'm not persecuting you, Jesus. I'm persecuting the church. I'm persecuting Christians. I'm tracking them down and throwing them in prison. I'm breathing out murderous threats against them. But when Jesus was speaking to Paul, there was something about how intimately connected he is to his people, that when Saul was persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. And so on the one hand, Jesus says, listen, as much as you've done this to the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. And when we persecute other people, we're persecuting Jesus. There's something so intimately connected between the children of God and the God that we serve, that when we serve one another, when we love one another, we're loving him. And when we're hurting one another, we're hurting him. That's really the ground level for what I want to say today, because everything we do in service of one another, we need to think of as an act of worship to God. So every single thing that we do, it's not a burden, it's not a chore, our name isn't just a name on a rota, we're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it as an act of worship, knowing that when we serve one another, we're actually at the same time serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I put this picture up here on the screen, washing up, not because I want to confess to being a great washer-upper, because it's not the truth. I have a dishwasher, and his name is Aaron. No, we actually have a dishwasher, and Aaron and Sam fill it. So I only do it on Sundays for some reason. But let me say this. When we have people round to our house, when we have guests come to our house, our guests never do the washing up. But when we have family come round to our house, our family will do the washing up. When I was growing up as a kid, we used to have a bunch of chores that we had to do after school. So my mum used to come home about 5:30. By that time, my brother and I were at home, and we had spent a bit of time watching TV, but before Mum came home, we had to have completed certain jobs. My dog was part husky, and he lived outside, and his yard was usually full of what you'd expect a dog to leave behind after he's eaten food. And so one of us had to clean up the dog mess after school. The other had to feed the dog and walk the dog, and we took it in turns to do that. In addition to that, we had to wash up whatever washing up there was and tidy our rooms and make sure that those tasks were done before Mum got home. And I used to complain. I used to say, Mum, why? I'm so tired after school. I just want to come home and watch children's TV. And she would say, well, I'm sorry. If you're part of this family, you have to take responsibility for what needs to be done. And I think there's something about being part of the family where we're not treating people like guests. Church isn't about treating people like guests. You know, you're all, in a sense, guests in the house of God, but we're more than that. We're family. And sometimes when we come to church, we think, well, I'm a guest at this church, and, you know, I'm attending this church, rather than thinking I'm a part of this family. If you're a guest, you don't do the washing up. But if you're family, you love to do the washing up. Well, you do the washing up. And just saying that, because I think sometimes we need a shift in our understanding. As a church, we love one another, don't we? We love each other deeply. And there's something exquisite about how God has designed the body of Christ that we're going to look at this morning. So if you've got your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm hoping I can remember the essence of what I wanted to say, and hopefully it'll be up here on the screen. So we're going to read the whole chapter together. So if you haven't got a Bible, the words will be up here. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus, be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so what he's basically doing is, there was some confusion in the church back then, and there were lots of different gifts in operation. So some were prophesying, and some were having words of knowledge, and some were speaking in tongues, and other people were interpreting tongues. And so people who had come from a background of paganism were thinking, well, all of these different gifts, does that mean they're coming from different spirits? And so the Apostle Paul goes on to say, listen, there are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Look at that phrase. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance or administration, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's just pray for a second. Father, thank you that these words, Father, in your scriptures, Father, are true. Lord God, and they come from your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that these words will take root in our hearts, Father, and change us today, Lord God, as we come under the authority of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to camp in verse 7 of this chapter, and I just want to read that to you again, because I think this is really the core of what Paul's getting at just here. So he says in verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The rest of the chapter unpacks that reality. To each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So a couple of scriptures to hang our thoughts on just as I begin this section. It says, each one of us has one body with many members. These members do not all have the same function. And so in Christ, though many, we form one body. Each member belongs to the others. This is in Romans. It says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And let me just say this morning, every single person sitting in this room today has received grace from God to serve other people. Each one of us is gifted in some way to serve others. And so in verse 7 it says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To each one, say that after me, each one, look around you as you say it, each one, look at yourself as you say it, each one. To each one of us today, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Each one of us has received grace from God to serve other people. Ephesians 4 verse 7 says something similar. It says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. And I want to encourage you today. Some of you are serving in wonderful ways. Some of you have recognized the grace of God on your life, and you have stepped out and you've begun to serve the Lord using the grace that he has given you. For other people in the room today, you're exploring what it means to serve God and to serve his church. Some people say to me, but Damien, I don't know what my gifting is. I don't know what gifts I have. I don't know what grace has been given me. I don't recognize it. Well, one way to recognize the grace of God on your life is to ask other people what they see in you. And to ask the Lord what he sees in you and what he's put in you. Because the promise in Scripture is that each one of us has received from him the grace we need to serve other people. And if you don't know what your gifts are, don't wait until you know what your gifts are before you begin to serve. Just look for opportunities to serve. Just look for a way to love somebody else. Just look for ways to be a blessing. You know, we've talked in recent weeks about these rivers of living water that flow from our inmost beings, haven't we? The Holy Spirit that God has put in the life of every believer. He is present in our lives. And the rivers of living water, the purpose of them flowing from our lives is to bless and bring life to those people around us. And so when, as Christians, we serve other people, we are becoming a channel of God's grace into other people's lives. And sometimes it's standing on a platform like this. Sometimes it's hiding behind a banner doing media and sound. Let's just honor these guys this morning. They've had a hard time bringing it all together. And sometimes it's things that are hidden, like Giles Arnold doing a Bible study with two lads from the church every week, playing games with them, doing a Bible study, playing more games with them, building a treehouse with them. Nobody knows he does that. He's been a father to some of the people in our church. Sometimes it's fixing white goods. It's going around someone's house and knowing that you've got practical skills and somebody's struggling so you can help them in practical ways. Sometimes it's people I met with, Tony Geschwend. Tony is there right in the center up there, a dear friend of mine, a Swiss man who is a citizen of the world who for this season of his life, he and Heidi are back in the UK and we are very excited to have them. They have an apostolic ministry. Every time I spend time with Tony, I come away feeling like I've spent time with Jesus. And we open the scriptures together and we encourage each other. There are people like that in the body of Christ. And there are other people like Henry, who is an advocate for people in the workplace. And so he finds out there are people struggling and they don't know what to do. They haven't got the skills. They feel intimidated by some of the people in their workplace. And because he knows what to do and because he's confident and has the skills, he has become an advocate for people in the workplace, part of Hope Church, people who are struggling in the workplace who are part of Hope Church. And that's a ministry God, you won't never know that he does that, but he does that. Nike sends a text every single morning with some scriptures and an encouragement to build people up in their faith. You don't know that she does that, but she does that. And the prayer ministry team, Rachel and some of the other people, meet with people to pray and to bring people to wholeness and freedom. You won't ever know that that happens, but it happens all the time. And there are people who share their faith and open their home. Hillary, bless her, she has the gift of hospitality. And like no one I've ever met before. And she opens her home and you feel like you're in, when you're in her home, that you're in your own home because she has such a gift of making you welcome. Let me just say this about her gift. It's become international. She now lives in Australia, but she's given the keys to the ladies' life group so they can still meet in her house while she's in a different country. You might not know that she does that, but she does that. Celebrate Recovery, like 3 years ago, some of the people who came onto the Celebrate Recovery program and were just starting on their road to applying some of these principles to their lives, to walk in freedom, they're now leading groups as they come through Celebrate Recovery. You won't know that that happens, but that happens. And people like Bernie and Carol, who do the refreshments every single Sunday, they've got a week off this week, praise the Lord. But they get there just after 9 o'clock every week and they get a trolley from the cupboard and they stack it high with boxes and urns and things and they lay it out with such exquisite excellence, all of the different teas and the drinks. And then they put a side table out so that all the people serving on teams, all of the other teams can come and get a cup of tea before the service begins. They do it with such love and with such excellence. You don't get to see that, but that happens. There's so many amazing expressions of love that delight my heart that most of you won't know goes on. But let me say this about serving other people. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It could be the simple things. It can be the ordinary, everyday things. And if you're doing it as an act of worship to the Lord, if you're doing it because you love him, then it becomes something that blesses other people. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is that, yes, every one of us does have the grace of God on our lives. And, yes, we do have the opportunity to serve. But some of us serve with a really stinky attitude. And what I would say to you is if you aren't doing your service unto the Lord, it will become a burden. It will become something that you would rather not do. It would be something that you would rather lay down. It would be something that you do grudgingly. And you might resent doing it if you're not doing it unto the Lord. And what I would say to you is if you are currently serving and you hate what you do, lay it down for your sake and for the sake of the people who you're serving. Because if you're not worshiping the Lord through your service, then the fruit that will come of it won't be good fruit. If you're doing it because of duty or because somebody has twisted your arm or you're doing it because you feel you must or you have to and you're really resenting it, then please come and have a conversation with me. It might be that we can kind of reorient things so that you can see it as an act of worship and something you're doing unto the Lord. But if you're really resenting what you do, I would encourage you to, for a season, lay that ministry down and seek the Lord and ask for him, for his heart as you serve others. But each one of us, every single one of us, has a ministry that is God-given where we get to bless the body of Christ. We're not guests in the house, we're family. And so I would encourage every one of you to seek God for a ministry. I don't want anybody who's part of Hope Church to come and be a consumer. Of course, we receive from the Lord and we receive from other people. Yes, at times what we do can be entertaining. And yes, we can go home with a smile on our face. And yes, we do enjoy being around our Christian brothers and sisters. But sometimes in our thinking, we come to church and we think that it's about how we go away feeling and how entertained we feel or how challenged we feel. And it becomes all about us. When actually the body of Christ is more than that. Yes, we receive from other people. Yes, there's input from other people in terms of our spiritual growth, but we're supposed to be net contributors to what goes on in the body of Christ. So receive, but also give. Every member is in ministry. What's your ministry today? That's everyone, everyone. And then verse 7 goes on to say, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. Now, let me explain this word manifestation. I had a little bit of a revelation this week as I was looking at this verse. Manifestation means to make known. Means to make known. So, for instance, we know that the Lord is Spirit, but he chooses to make himself known, to manifest his presence. The Lord is present everywhere all the time. He is omnipresent. But when we say, Lord, we long for your presence and we're seeking your presence, what we're talking about is a manifestation, a making known, a going public of his presence, a revealing of his glory. And so through this passage, we see that there's something in the operation of gifts of the Spirit and the various ministries that God has given us in the body of Christ, that somehow through those ministries, he is making himself known. The manifestation of the Spirit. And so when you are serving somebody, you are making God known. You are revealing him to the brother or sister that you're serving. That's awesome. And so the little thing that you do, Bernie and Carol, making the cups of tea for your brothers and sisters, as you do that, you're revealing God's glory. You're manifesting him through the act of service. And Jackie, when you phone me up, and you meet me for a cup of coffee at the Good Bean Cafe in the Old Village. And you ask me how I'm doing with the Lord, because not many people ask me that question. You're manifesting the glory of God. You're revealing him to me as you serve me. And Lita, as you show kindness to countless people and you just lay down your life to serve other people without wanting anything back in return, you're manifesting the glory of God through your life. You don't realize that's what you're doing, but you're doing it. And Bill, as you can't help but encourage people, no word that's ever come out of your mouth has failed to bless me. God has given you the gift of encouragement. And when you do that, you are manifesting God, you're showing him, you're revealing his glory. And so the ministries that we have are Cal and Wendy, I've just seen you up there. The way that you ask those questions that probe deep to the heart of things, that because you really care about the spiritual progress of the people that you're ministering to. When you come round to my house and you ask me questions about theology and the things of God and you probe deeply and you care about people's walk with Jesus, when you do that, you are manifesting the glory of God. We don't glorify people and their ministries, but what I'm trying to do today is just say, listen, there are so many expressions of giftedness in the body of Christ. And all of those giftednesses and all of those ministries reveal God's glory. So when we serve one another using the gifts that God has given us, there's a manifestation of the Spirit. There's a showing forth, there's a revealing of his glory when we serve one another in love. Are you serving the Lord and manifesting the Spirit this morning? What is the the ministry that God has given you, where you get to reveal God's glory to the body of Christ. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Let me just say this. Between 1 Corinthians 12, a passage about spiritual gifts and the body of Christ, and 1 Corinthians 14, where the Apostle Paul gives some practical guidance on how to use some of these spiritual gifts, specifically prophecy and tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Between those two chapters on spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous love chapter. And this is how it begins. It says, listen, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, if I've got the gift of tongues, but I don't have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying is, listen, if you pray out in tongues and you haven't got love in your heart, you're just making noises. It means nothing. And he goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, wow! To have gifting like that in the church, he says, but I do not have love. He says, I am nothing. And he goes on to say, if I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. He's basically saying, you can be as gifted as you like. You can have a ministry that's very, very impressive, but if you don't have love, it's pointless. It's worthless in God's eyes. And so the place of ministry and service comes from a heart of love. And so the number one priority for us in serving, the thing that gets rid of religiosity, and the thing that gets rid of duty and obligation, the thing that gets rid of all of the things that make service a chore, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, which produces love for our neighbor as we love them as we love ourselves. And so there's this principle in the scriptures where our hearts become filled with the Father's love through the Holy Spirit. And then the overflow of our life is that we love one another and we love everyone else as the overflow. And when Jesus ministered to the broken, when he healed the sick, when he set people free from demons, when he laid his hands on the leprous, when he set the captives free, the motivation was always compassion. It was always love. And so when we serve, sometimes we think of service as something that advances our own end, our own ministry, our own sense of well-being. And all of those things are true, but only as byproducts. But the number one thing about service in the body of Christ is the reason we do it is for the benefit of other people. There's only one gift that I can see in all of the gifts mentioned, which is primarily for the building up of ourselves, and that is the gift of tongues. It can bless other people if there's an interpretation that accompanies it. But every single other gift is to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. It's to be built for the edification of our brothers and sisters. The purpose of our gifts is that we get to love one another using abilities that God has given us to build one another up in the things of God. To each one, every single one of us has been given a grace so that a manifestation of the Spirit can happen, that we can reveal God's glory through our ministry. And the goal of that is for the common good, so that we all may be built up. There are a couple of scriptures later on in 1 Corinthians 12 that I wanted us to look at as well. In 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body of Christ, there are two things that the Apostle Paul says. The first is that some people say things like, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. And there are some people here today who are looking at their own lives and looking at the things that they're doing for the Lord, and they're comparing themselves to other people in the church, and they're saying, well, because I'm not a worship leader, or because I'm not a pastor, or because I don't have an upfront ministry, and because I'm not an evangelist, and because I'm not as impressive as some other people in ministry, because I am not those things, I do not belong to the body. It's a belonging issue. And there might be some people sitting in the room today and you're comparing yourself to other people and you're thinking, well, I'm not as important as the other people because I can't do what all of those other people can do. And you're saying, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. But Paul says, listen, just because you don't think that you're important doesn't mean that you're not important. And what he's saying is, listen, there are some people in the body of Christ and they have a ministry, but it might not be like somebody else's ministry. Let me say this, in Hope Church, we've had now 3 administrators. So Laura is our latest administrator. Is Laura in the room today? Laura's our latest administrator, and we thank God for Laura. She's doing an amazing job, by the way. Our first administrator was Trish. And we used to meet in a front room before we had a building, before we had a bank account, before we had any policies, before we had any staff. We met in a front room and we worshiped God together. And I remember one day Trish said, listen, I'm retired. I've got a computer. I can word process. If you want me to do anything, just let me know. And so I said, yeah, okay. And I gave her some stuff to do. And over time, she proved faithful and gifted in that area. And she became our first church administrator. Our second church administrator was Louise. And she had some different qualities. And she was really good with the interpersonal stuff and the caring for people who came into the office. And now we have Laura, and she looks different to Louise, and she looks different to Trish, and all of them are gifted by God. And so we don't have to look like anyone else. God has created you with your own personality, your own experiences, your own gifting, so that you can be you. You don't have to be me, and you don't have to be Giles or Sue or Colin. You don't have to be anybody else. You just have to be you. And so don't compare yourself to other people. Don't feel that your contribution to the body of Christ isn't important because you look at other people and you feel that you don't belong because you don't have the same gifts as other people. Discover what God has created you to do and get on and do it. Is Karen Rutherford in the room? So Karen, she will hate me to say, she wouldn't want you to look at, don't turn around. Karen comes every single Sunday morning. She's not on a rota. But everything that needs to be done, she'll just get on and do it. So she folds the updates sometimes, and she puts out tables and chairs, and she just makes herself helpful. She would hate for people to even know that she does that. Sorry, Karen. But I want to honor her and people like her, because she might not ever stand at the front and hold a microphone and speak into it, but she is a blessing to the body of Christ. She's a blessing. And so all I'm saying is find the thing that God has made you to do and just do it. It doesn't have to be complicated. But then a little bit later on in verse 21, the opposite, the flip side of that comes into play. And so Paul says, but the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So there's a self-sufficiency in some people. And they're like, yeah, I am gifted. Yeah, and I am powerful in the Lord. Yeah, I do carry an anointing. And actually, there are some people in the church that I don't want to have any contact with. And yeah, they're too complicated. And yeah, their lives are a bit messy. And yeah, I'd rather just kind of keep my soul kind of pure from some of the contamination of what other people carry. And there can be a pride and a self-sufficiency in ministry where we separate ourselves off from some of the other people in the church because they don't look as impressive. Or they don't seem as impressive. And so the Apostle Paul deals with that one head on. He says, listen, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. What does that mean? It means you can't do without them. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. This morning, if you think that you're one of the weak parts of the body, let me speak this over your life. You are indispensable. You are indispensable. We can't do without you. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Listen, I love the fact that you honor me as your pastor. I love it. And, you know, I don't need it, but I appreciate it. But I'm not the man of God who is worthy of all honor. I am just one of many ministries in this church. And it says the parts that lack honor are deserving of special honor. That's one to take away and meditate on, isn't it? There are parts of the body of Christ, there are parts of the Hope Church family who seem to be lacking honor. And the Apostle Paul says those people are worthy of special honor. And I'll come back to the reason why in a second. And then it goes on to say, and listen, there are parts of your body that you wouldn't reveal in public. You know what I'm talking about. And so I would, you know, I have dreams about this sort of thing happening, but I'd never come up here on stage without my clothes on. But there are parts of our body that we treat with modesty, don't we? We cover up because we wouldn't want to go public. You know what I'm saying? But there are also parts of the body of Christ that we might not put on display. And we treat with special modesty, with a lot of love and affection. There are the unpresentable parts who are still absolutely necessary to our life as a worshiping community. And so the reason Paul goes on to say these things, he says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that all parts should have equal concern for each other. So if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are the body of Christ. Every single one of us is a part of it. And so my challenge to you today, as your pastor, as your friend, as a fellow journeyer, as a fellow, as one who's walking with you on the journey, I would say to you, listen, you have the enormous privilege of serving God by serving other people. Every member of Hope Church has a ministry. We just need to discover what that ministry is and serve God with all of our hearts. Next Sunday, we're going to do something that we did last year, which is called a ministry fair. And I know that there are some people who their ministry is a little bit more freestyle. It's a little bit more off the books. You don't put your name on a rota. You just draw alongside people. That's absolutely cool. But if you're looking for an opportunity to serve on one of our teams next week, every single one of our teams will have a stall in the restaurant area. And on that stall will be some information about the various teams. There'll be somebody from those teams. You can ask any questions you have of people in those teams, and they would be delighted to answer your questions. They would also, I guess, if you feel called to any area of ministry, they would be delighted to give you more information about how you go about joining that team and serving. But in the week between now and then, I want you to go away and I want you to pray and seek the Lord. And if you don't already have a ministry, if you're not already serving, ask the Lord how you can serve. Because I've told you this morning that God has blessed every single one of us in this church with the ability to serve other people. And by serving other people, we're revealing God's glory. And the purpose of us serving isn't for our own advancement in ministry, but it's for the common good, so that we build one another up. And so there's equality in the body of Christ. So I'm going to leave it there and we're just going to pray. I wonder if the worship team could come back to the front. And if somebody could tell me the time, that would be helpful as well. 4:15, thank you. Father, I'm just looking out at these people, Lord God, through eyes of faith this morning. And Lord, I realize that these aren't just ordinary people sitting in these chairs. Father, you have, for those of you who name the name of Jesus in this place today, for those people, Lord God, you have filled their lives full of your Spirit and full of his presence. You have graced them, gifted them, Lord God, to serve you and to serve your body. Father, thank you, Lord God, for the potential in every single life in this room. Father, thank you that it's not just a little bit of potential, it's enormous potential, Father. It has no limits, in fact. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you're growing ministries. Father, thank you that this week Richard was leading a mission weekend when 5 years ago he wasn't even saved. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the enormous grace on people's lives, Lord God. Father, thank you that people are growing in their understanding of you, Father, and stepping out in faith to serve you all over this church. And I pray for those who are still to do that, Lord God, would you help them to discover the joy and the purpose, Father, that comes with serving you in that way. Lord, may the gifts that you have placed in your body be released. May the fullness of everything that you have placed in your body be released in Jesus' name. May the evangelists be released to evangelize. May the pastors be released to pastor. May the teachers be released to teach. May the apostles be released to apostle. May the prophets be released to prophesy. May those with gifts of help be released to help others. May the gift of generosity be released, Father, so people can be blessed through that. May the gift of mercy be released, Father. May words of knowledge and words of wisdom be released, Father. May miraculous signs and wonders be released. May the gift of tongues be released. May the gift of interpretation be released, Father. May all of the potential that you have put in your body be released for your name's sake and for your glory. And Father, I pray for those who are fearful this morning or doubting themselves, Lord God, that you will show them that they are indispensable. Father, that you have a purpose and a plan for their lives and a way for them to serve. I bless them and I bless us all now in Jesus' name. Amen.